Hey there, listeners. Welcome to the Leadership is Changing podcast. I'm Dennis Giannoutis and I'm your host. And I had a brilliant interview with a gentleman by the name of Nelson Nigel. What a guy. He was awesome. And he talked to me about his journey. And he went from a yellow cab driver to an Uber driver to now being the founder and CEO of an organization called Kidmoto Technology. Now, Kidmoto is, if you think about it, you land in an airport and you have a family with kids and you are about to go and grab an Uber or a taxi or a cab, and they don't actually have child seats that are fitted there all the time. And so his organization, he saw the gap in the market and he went now and you can order a child or a cab or an Uber with the child seat, or provide the child seat as part of the booking as well. Brilliant. And talked about how he's grown that organization. But we talked about the title of the episode is Different Eyes See Different Things. And he talked about us being creatures of habits. But the other thing was his choice of a favorite leader was awesome. And then he actually said a whole of other great things as well in the episode too, which, you know, here's one. Find out what happened when he bought a TV. So there's so much great stuff in there. We had so much fun talking. So enjoy the interview.
Welcome to Leadership is Changing. Each week, we and our guests provide information and insights through exploring leading change. This is taking your leadership to another level by finding the balance between executive excellence and personal well-being through stories that inspire real change. It's time to adapt in our fast-moving world when leadership is changing with your host, Dennis Giannoutsos.
Hey there, listeners. Welcome to another wonderful episode of the Leadership is Changing podcast. Great to have you here with us. I have a great guest with me today, and his name is Nelson Nigel. Nelson, a massive welcome to you.
Fantastic. Thanks for having me, Dennis.
Awesome. Great. Now, whereabouts in the world are you today?
I'm in New York City.
In New York City. Listeners, you can't see this, but Nelson's going to put on a beautiful Greek t-shirt for me, and it says Kala Christina, which means Merry Christmas. Okay, he's either a few months late or a few months early. It doesn't matter. It's great to see that t-shirt on you. And Nelson, are you originally from New York City? Tell us more about your background.
Originally from Guyana, South America. It was like a British Guyana before.
Yep, cool, cool. And so tell us more about your background. What have you done? Where you been? What do you do today? Because I know you're the founder and the CEO of an organization called Kidmoto Technology. Tell us more.
So I'm just a lifelong entrepreneur, Dennis. And in 2016-17, I founded Kidmoto Technologies. We are a mobile app that connects parents seeking child car seats to drivers that provide child car seats for airport transportation. And since 2017, I've grown this organization into 52 cities across America. And now we are branching off to start a few other companies for historically underserved segments of the population under a new company called Moto Nation.
Awesome. Awesome. So in other words, the problem that parents had was when they landed in an airport or somewhere and they wanted to take transportation, there were no car seats for kids. Is that what it is?
100% correct. The car services and taxis do not provide child car seats, pre-installed child car seats. And me being a former yellow cab driver, best job ever, and Uber driver, I saw that need and things didn't work out in my direction on a different enterprise. And I said, let me start Kidmoto. Forget about it.
Yeah, very cool. And then I see that, you know, you've maybe the figures may be a little bit out of date, but over, you know, completed over 40,000 rides. You got a seven figure revenue for 2023 and a valuation of $25 million.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool, man. And then what a great idea, right? Nelson, what you saw was a gap in the market. And I think for a lot of leaders, sometimes their eyes are shut or they're just really stuck in their, in their own business and not looking around. I think the important thing is for people to look around and actually understand what's out there, what gaps are out there. What are your thoughts on that? What made you look around and think about and find that gap in the market?
Well, I was a former yellow cab driver and Uber driver, and I noticed that gap in the market. I saw it. I lived it, right? I personally was not picking up parents of small children because I didn't know anything about child car seats, right? I was scared, right? And as a yellow cab driver and as an Uber driver side, parents would have a car seat. They would ask me to install it. Forget about it. I don't want to install a car seat, right?
Yes.
It's like rocket science to me, rocket science. So I saw it and I didn't really think much of it until I was in procurement and government procurement. And I lost a couple of contracts. And I said, well, you know what? Let me start this mobile app and provide to this segment of the population to see where it goes. It was a weird, crazy idea.
Yeah, it sounded like it went really well. So well done. Yeah, very good. And so do you have employees in your organization? Do you have people working for you?
Yeah.
Yep. How many do you have?
I think we have 28, 29, I think.
Yeah, very cool. And what's it like to lead them? In other words, did you get into leadership yourself? What's it like to lead these people?
Oh, it's phenomenal. I just love working with a great set of people. It's very challenging. We were up to 52 about 6 months ago. And we had to scale back down. The economy has changed. And it's just phenomenal working with just great people, smart people, not so smart people, right? I'll tell you what, many people always say it's great working with smart people. And sometimes, not everybody's going to be that smart. That's the reality, right? And which is okay, right? Everyone brings value in different ways. And it's just phenomenal because we're creating change and we're creating brand new companies that the world has never seen before. And it's all being done by you and I, people like you and I. And it's just phenomenal working with great people.
Excellent. So I think that's a great, the listeners' sake, I think that's a great point that you made. We talk about getting the right people around you is one thing. So that's one topic. People talk about getting smart people around you. Yep, that's another topic. But I think what Nelson's saying here is the fact that, smart people, the people who may not be smart, but they are the right people to have around you. That's a different thing. And I think having the right people around you to help you in your organization going forward is smart, right? That's a smart thing to do.
Yeah. That's a good way to put it. I'll tell you what, right? Different eyes see different things, right? Mm. So a few minutes ago, I said, not everybody is always going to be the smartest. And that's totally fine because different eyes see different things. And everyone brings value. We just, as leaders, our challenge is to help, that person bring out that value.
Yeah. Yeah. Too right. You're bright. That's spot on in the sense that we need to understand and look for that value that they have and help bring it out is really good. And that's leadership, isn't it? That's really what leadership's about.
Yeah, that is leadership. It's taking someone who doesn't, many people don't believe in themselves. Many people don't believe they bring value, but I'm always saying different eyes see different things.
Yeah, cool.
And building a team is people are always bringing value. We just have to figure out how to bring that out of them and how to learn from them.
Yep. Yeah, that's very good. I love that last piece, and how to learn from them. That is really cool. Yeah. I think a lot of leaders sometimes think that they have to have the answers to everything and people are going to learn from them. No, I actually think it's the opposite. I think we can learn from people too, right?
We have to, because we're only capable of so much. And when you're leading an organization and you're not going to know everything, right? And sometimes you're super busy that you may not be able to see everything. And you want to see it from someone else's point of view because maybe you're wrong. And many times we are wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. So if you can get that ego out of the way and maybe let others show you. Yeah. As I say as well, that sometimes, many minds is way better than one mind because other people may have a better or different way of looking at it. It's a bit like kids as well. What I love about kids is the fact that they don't have all this other garbage or baggage that they've had for all these years of experience. They just see it plain, simple. And sometimes they go, well, what about just this? And you go, well, that's it. But sometimes we bring in everything and we think and we complicate things. And I think it's just trying to keep it simple.
That's right. KISS.
Yeah. Keep it simple, smarty.
Sweet.
Sweet. I don't know, but maybe this part of the world goes, keep it simple, stupid. In other words, just keep it really simple. Right. Hey, the other thing is for you and your journey that you've been with Kidmoto and so forth and what you've done. And you talked about it's really important for us to develop ourselves and grow as leaders. Now, this person could be alive or from history. Who's been your favorite leader and why?
My favorite leader, Muhammad Ali.
Nice. Okay. And how come? What's been so good about Muhammad Ali for you?
Not that I know of. He didn't go to college. I don't even know if he finished high school, but his impact is enormous in terms of political and sports-wise and like societal, right?
Yeah.
And he speaks on a different level of awareness. He saw things that are just phenomenal. The way he responds to answers quickly in his interviews, it's like, wow, this guy is really smart.
Yeah. But he had that ability to, on his feet, think, or even if he was sitting down, he could think very fast. And he was able to respond in a way that was very well calculated.
But not calculated.
And not calculated as well. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, yeah. And then but the other thing I liked about him as well, it was simple, right? He was who he was.
Simple, yeah. Very simple answers, very, very direct. And again, someone who did not probably have, you know, college education or higher quote unquote education.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Nelson, I presume you haven't met Muhammad Ali.
No.
So here's a question for you. If you were sitting on a park bench in New York, Central Park, maybe, I don't know, and you're sitting there somewhere having a cup of coffee with Muhammad Ali, would there be one question you would love to ask him?
One question. Let's see.
What would you want to know from him?
How do you eliminate the noise?
Love that question. Awesome question. How do you eliminate the noise? Brilliant. I wonder what he would say, eh?
You just got to let it go, right? There's always negative energy around you. There is always negative noise. There's always inconsequential noise. There is always noise.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of noise in New York City.
Not good, right? It takes up our time, and time is important, and we need to utilize our time to the best of our ability. And many times we're hearing noise, we're seeing noise, and it's always there.
Yeah. I love what you're saying there, because the thing is, I think for a lot of leaders is that they get distracted so much because they lose their focus because there is so much noise out there and it's influencing them to go and do something where they should probably be going the other way. How have you stayed so focused on what you do, and what have you done to eliminate that noise?
That's a very good question. And I have figured out that if I put in more hours into my work, I'll get more done. And at the same time, try to figure out where all this noise is. And then we'll try to eliminate that noise.
Yeah.
And it's constant. It's like I've heard somewhere, you need to get rid of the dead weight, right? You need to get rid of the dead weight. You need to consistently chip the dead weight off our back. Now think about, buying a new computer. It's loaded with 100 miscellaneous programs, and it's slowing the computer down, right? So that you have to manually go in and delete all those unnecessary programs. And if we are functioning as, leaders, as CEOs, and we're dealing with a lot of different, making a lot of decisions, we need to focus and we need to eliminate all those distractions or eliminate a lot of distractions. And we have to learn where these distractions are coming from.
Yep, great.
I'm always trying to figure out where the distractions are coming from. And we are creatures of habits now, right? So we have to create these, better and better habits of not watching television, get rid of, not downloading the TikTok app.
Yeah, definitely.
Forget about it.
Yeah, exactly. Forget about it. In other words, because you're right. A lot of those are very, very much distracting. In fact, what we used to call the TV many, many years ago was an EIR, electronic income reducer. In other words, it would actually force us or actually cause us not to earn a lot of more money. Now, I'm sure Nelson and I are saying that we don't always, well, if you want to watch something every now and then, great, but don't let it take over. That's what we're saying, because a lot of people sit on the couch all day, every day. And yeah.
That's the worst.
Yeah, it's worse. Yeah.
That's the worst.
Yeah.
I like that. EIR.
Yeah. Electronic Income and Reducer. Hey, tell me something. The show here is called Leadership is Changing. When I say that title or that statement, what does that mean for you?
Leadership is changing. That's correct. For me, it says that we have to constantly change our leadership. We have to constantly change our leadership position because people are changing. And in our culture now, things are not as they were 15, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. I believe people are very soft right now.
Tell us more about that. What do you mean by the very soft?
Am I allowed to say that?
just tell me what I mean. So are you saying that people aren't strong enough at the moment, that they're being a little bit weak? They need to be a little bit more confident in what they're doing? Is that what you're saying?
They are. I believe that people take things too personally and they are very sensitive to words. And there's a correlation with that and them making mistakes and accountability.
And the accountability piece, you mean there's a lack of it?
Yes.
Yeah.
So you can say, hey, you're 5 minutes late. And someone is going to twist that statement and say, I hurt your feelings. You shouldn't have said it that way.
How else could you have said it?
Yeah, that's the magic word. You said it right there. You could have done that. You should have done that, right?
Yeah, actually, that's actually a good point because I think sometimes there's a lot of could have, should have, would have kind of statements out there. And we're like, okay.
That's not where you want to be. We don't want to use those words. Those are the worst words.
No.
Some of the worst words.
Yeah, they are the worst words. They're the people who, here's an example. Somebody who wanted to go and do something in life and they haven't done it. And then later on in life, someone else goes and does it. And they look back and they go, oh, I could have done it. I should have done it. I would have done it. If I had done it, you just imagine where I could have been. Yeah, but the problem is you didn't. You didn't go and do it.
Exactly. I believe we're in a society now where people are constantly finding ways to could have you, should have you, right? You could have done that. You could have said that. But, you know, like, hey, man, you're 5 minutes late. You know, you just made a bad decision. You cost the company X amount of money. Oh, well, I'm sorry. I could have done it this way. It's like that, you know. And so that's another word that people overuse now. I'm sorry in terms of accountability. I'm sorry.
Hmm. Yeah, interesting, eh? Very interesting. So I think you were talking more about people and accountability. I think that's all good there. So what I was going to ask you next was another question now, okay?
Okay.
So Nelson, we're living in a world whereby it seems to be getting faster. In other words, technology is driving it. In other words, you've got an app that you've created that's driving technology and driving life. We've also got data, business, social, all of it is getting faster and faster and faster. A leader today, for them to be successful in this very fast-paced changing world, and you may have already alluded to it before about when you're talking about the noise and things like that, but there may be some other things too. What makes a leader successful in today's fast-changing world?
What makes the leader successful? I think at the bottom of it all, it's you have to believe in people and you have to be able to notice the value that they bring and help them bring it out. So it's like Richard Branson said, people are like plants, flowers, you need to water them and they will grow, right?
Yep.
So it takes a very, very good leader to notice, you know, great employees and encourage them, mentor them and water them because they oftentimes, they don't believe in themselves, right? So they don't believe in themselves or they don't believe if their family members tell them, but if their boss tells them, you know, and they get that encouragement. Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's about they don't believe in themselves, but if they get that encouragement or on a regular basis, while also, I love the analogy you used about the plants, about watering them, right? So in other words, that's us pouring into them. It's us pouring into them in a way of, as you say, helping them believe in themselves. We encourage them. We mentor them. We develop them. That's all the pouring
yes.
into them, which is great. And for them to grow, because they may not be where they need to be or where they could be, but by us doing that, what you're sharing, it actually helps them really grow.
Yeah, exactly. And if someone doesn't believe in them or someone doesn't give them that encouragement, they may never hit that potential.
Exactly. And that's the potential or the thing that we may miss out on as a business, as an organization, as a leader, because if we haven't done that, I look at some leaders sometimes as well, Nelson, and they sit there and you can tell that they don't believe in their people. And if that, and then you look at the organization, you go, what's the attrition rate like? People are resigning all the time. People aren't happy. There's a lot of people who are in personal grievances and all that. And you're like, I wonder why, because the leader isn't believing in their own people. And if the leader is not happy with the people, then they might need to change the people and find some other people as well to bring on board. I don't know. I think it's a bit interesting at times. Well, what do you think?
I think you're correct in saying that, because people can feel when you believe in them. Yes.
Yeah.
They can feel it, and you speak to them in a different manner. Mm. As you know, you actually know, we communicate in different manners, right? So they could feel that communication. Whereas if a leader doesn't believe in an employee, and that person may feel it at some point, if it's not in one form of communication, another form. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you're right as well. I think that's spot on. And even if you don't even say it, or, you know, in other words, people, if you believe in people, you don't actually have to say much. It's just the way that you act with them or you are with them. It actually, people pick it up. People will actually pick up things off you, signals off you as a leader.
We're primates, you know, we're social creatures. So, it comes through. You know, body language is more than, it speaks more than everything else.
Absolutely does. Yeah, very good point. Now, you and I have been talking about it from the lens of a leader. If we think about the employees, you know, you've already talked a little bit about it, but what are employees expecting now from leaders? Because, yeah, what do you think it is?
What are employees expecting now from leaders?
Has it changed?
That's a very good question. Are employees looking at employers as leaders, or are employees looking at employers as employers?
Good question. Yeah.
That would be a question to ask, right? So yeah, that's a hard question to answer, because if someone is going to, I don't know, to work for Uber, is there an actual leader? Are they just looking for a regular job?
I actually think you actually already have answered the question by just the statement you said, right? Which was employees looking at as their employers as a leader, or are they looking at their employers as an employer? I mean, I think that just answers it itself, in the sense that, you know, when people join an organization, they are looking for leaders to follow. They are looking at as an organization, or, hey, is this just a job? And there is a difference. And I think just you by saying that, that is spot on in actually sharing it.
Yes. I think when you're running an organization and you have those employees that are showing those signs where they are looking for a leader, they are looking for mentorship, they are looking for growth, to learn, the leader is is there to spot that, right? A good leader spots that. And so you will have that connection. But if there is employees who are just looking for a job, a good leader would also spot that also.
Nice. Hey, if there was one thing you think that leaders in general should change to be more successful, to be a better leader, if there was one thing you think people should change today, what would that one thing be?
Whoa. One thing that leaders change.
Yeah, they should change. I mean, you may even know yourself that you wish you could change one thing as a leader. Well, what would that be?
Whoa, that's a good question. A good leader should change, or any leader should change?
Any leader.
I think it's best to be direct. I don't know if it's subject to change, but it's best to be direct with someone and say, hey, I see this in you, and this is where you are. You're a rising star. You're bringing this sort of value, and we see that this is your potential. I think being direct is very good. I'm not saying that it's not, but being direct is good, and it sets the precedent for how you build that relationship, especially if you are dealing with somebody with great potential.
Yeah, no, that's good. I like it. I think it's really good in the sense of being direct with people. In other words, another word that some leaders use sometimes when I'm interviewing is they're saying, be transparent, be real, be authentic, be direct, tell people what you think. And in a way that people are going to understand it and grow from it. And it's, you know, either they're doing something really well or something they can improve on, but at least be direct with them and let them know. I find too many people here, Nelson, is that A, they're not being direct, or some people come to me and they go, I've just got this feedback. And in my 10-year career, they've never given me feedback like this before. In fact, I've never received feedback before. And I'm like, what do you mean? They don't tell me. And I think that's wrong, because if we can tell people and give them feedback by being direct with it, then people can learn from it, and then people can grow from it and move on. If they don't know, they can't change.
That's 100% true. The other side of that is you might get yourself in trouble.
Yeah. You mean if you're being too direct?
Or saying, probably you could, depends. Right. I can text somebody some things and it'll end up on Instagram or something.
Well, look, I think that there are different employment laws around every different country around the world, right? That's one thing. Two, when we're saying direct, I know that you're not saying I'm going to be a jerk and I'm going to tell you and be in your face.
That's not
what you're saying. What you're saying is,
no,
let's be direct with people. But it's not about what you say. It's how you say it. That's the key.
Yeah. And it's how you say it and in what situation also you can in the situation. And yes. If you're giving feedback also, it's good. But it goes back, you know, who are you speaking to? And what are they looking for in the employers?
Yeah. And I think there's this other thing too, which you probably are alluding to a little bit, is that a lot of leaders are very scared to say something because of repercussions. In other words, will I have a personal grievance against me? Will it be into social media? They'll talk about me on social media. Will there be lawyers involved? And so I think sometimes leaders hold back and don't say things because they are afraid of what might actually happen.
I agree with you. I 100% agree with you.
Yeah.
The flip side.
That is the flip side. Absolutely. Hey, Nelson, it's been a real pleasure talking to you today. Hey, if our listeners wanted to get hold of you, where should they go?
I'm on LinkedIn, Nelson Nigel. Listeners can find me there.
Excellent.
On Twitter?
On Twitter as well. Yeah, we'll put all your...
X.
Yeah, on X, yeah. So we'll put all your details onto the show notes so people can refer to it. But I just want to say to you, it's been a real pleasure talking to you today. Thank you for joining me on the show, and keep up your awesomeness. It's awesome what you're doing. And I really look forward to seeing your journey move on. So thank you.
Dennis, I appreciate it. Thank you so much also. Thank you.
Excellent. Well, there you go, listeners. Remember that we are creating change and that different eyes see different things. And if everyone brings value, then the impact can be enormous. Just remember that as we're working with people, talk to them in a way that's going to bring out the value, believe in them, and take them forward as where they need to go. Hey, it's always a pleasure being with you. Thanks for joining. Until next time, bye for now.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Leadership is Changing with your host, Dennis Giannoutsos. Each week, we and our guests provide information and insights through exploring leading change, inspiring executives and leaders to adapt and lead a bigger game in a fast-moving world.